On the screen here, you see at the very top is the logo off the website of American Christian Ministries. It's conveniently called ACM, and many of you are familiar with them. Periodically, we distribute their catalog. They are a purveyor of some of the best sermons and books available in our denomination. It's a self-supporting ministry by L. and Miriam Newhart. And ACM is celebrating their 39th anniversary with a special. In fact, on May 24th, in the issue of the Advent Review, will be a whole back page ad in which they are going to highlight a 7-part series that they're going to be offering in honor of the 39th anniversary. If I had one sermon to preach, and the preachers that are going to be recording these 7 sermons are Lewis Walton, Ed Reed, Samuel Thomas Jr., C.D. Brooks, Peter Neary, Sebastian Braxton, and Clifford Goldstein. And so, because of that, you get the benefit today of listening to the sermon that will be on that CD. And the title of my sermon for this 39th anniversary is called, Now is Not the Time. And so if you will bow your heads with me, I want to make this presentation in honor of the beautiful ministry of ACM and ask for the Lord's guidance upon our meeting today. Father in heaven, I actually misstated that. You've been present all along today from the very beginning of Sabbath school till now. I just want you to know that I want it to continue. That I do not want to speak unless you tell me what to say. And I don't want to be seen. I want Jesus to be seen. So please anoint me and anoint all of our hearts, our ears, and our minds. Don't let anything distract us, Lord. As I make this presentation, if I had one sermon to preach, Lord, I want to tell the people, now is not the time. So use me in spite of me and pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text for my sermon is found in Romans, the 13th chapter, and I want you to turn there with me, if you would, and let's read the text first that is being highlighted by this sermon, Now is Not the Time. Romans, the 13th chapter. Listen very carefully if we start as we read from verse 11 all the way to 14. Romans 13. 11 through 14. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to see how this relates to the subject today. And then keep your eye on the screen as I show you the pictures that go along with this presentation. Now is not the time. Verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen? Let us walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Isn't that beautiful? I want these verses to just settle into our minds. That now it is high time to wake out of our sleep. And so let me introduce you to someone who I assume you all know or you've seen or heard about him before. This is Stephen Hawking, the world-renowned British physicist. And just recently, on the 11th of April, he made this statement: humans will not survive another 1,000 years on our fragile planet. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Stephen, for when he makes this statement, it shakes up scientific community. The 71-year-old made the remarks at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, where he toured a stem cell laboratory focused on trying to slow the progression of Lou Gehrig's disease. Hawking was diagnosed with the neurological disorder 50 years while a student at Cambridge University. He recalled how he became depressed and initially did not see a point in finishing his doctorate. But Professor Hawking has survived longer than most people with Lou Gehrig's disease, also known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. It attacks the nerve cells and the brain and the spinal cord that control the muscles. If you understand how the universe operates, you control it in a way, said Hawking. Renowned for his work on black holes and the origin of the cosmos, Professor Hawking is famous for bringing esoteric physics concepts to the masses through his best-selling books, including A Brief History of Time, which sold more than 10 million copies worldwide. Well, Professor Hawking, with all due respect, I want you to know that there is not 1,000 years left on this planet Earth. And so let's delve into the topic of, if I had one sermon to preach, I want to tell the world who will receive this message, now is not the time to mince words. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Let's read about a dynamic prophet and preacher named Elijah. 1 Kings 18, and we're going to start reading at verse 17, as we discover from his behavior, now is not the time to mince words. Now, while you're turning there to 1 Kings 18, mince means to lessen the force of, weaken, as by euphemism. Now is not the time to lessen the force of, weaken, the message. Notice what it says here in verse 13 about this incredible prophet who took on the whole country of northern Israel. It says here in verse 17, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And Elijah answered him, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all of Israel unto me on Mount Carmel, including the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah said to all the people, now let me stop right there. Keep your finger in that place. Don't lose it in your Bible. And let's look at the setting here just for a second. It's like everybody hates Elijah. You see, because Elijah set in motion a drought that lasted 3.5 years. Everything is dying everywhere. And Jezebel, with her prophets and the king's support, have convinced the people that he's the cause of all this trouble. So here he stands on Mount Carmel, and let's look at the odds. First of all, the king himself is there with all of his advisors. And let's not forget the military, including all the generals, and his prophets, which number 450 prophets of Baal and 400 of prophets of Asherah, and finally, all the people. It seems to me, Elijah, you better be very careful what you say next. For the odds are not really good, are they? And so let's continue here and see exactly what Elijah says to the people in this critical time of crisis in the kingdom of Israel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you halt between two ideas? How long will you be hypocrites? For you see, if the Lord is God, then follow Him. But if Baal is, follow him." And I'm thinking, whoa. With the overwhelming odds Elijah is facing, he did not let the peer pressure buckle him at this crucial time. He did not mince words. Why? Because then was not the time to mince words. And he spoke plain to them. How long are you Christian people going to play with the world and still call yourselves Christian? Brothers and sisters, you know we could go on for hours. The plain truth is we see that now is not the time to mince words any more than it was back then. Listen to this. We are told in Prophets and Kings 1:40, today there is a need of the voice of stern rebuke. For grievous sins have separated the people from God. Infidelity is fast becoming fashionable. We will not have this man reign over us, is the language of thousands. Luke 19:14. The smooth sermons so often preach make no lasting impression. The trumpet does not give a certain sound. Men are not cut to the heart by the plain, sharp truths of God's Word. How many of you think this was written back in the late 1800s? It could be written right now. It is so applicable to all of us in all Christianity. We are in desperate straits. And if I had one sermon to preach and I could reach the world, I want them to know that this is not the time to mince words. It's done with love, but it's done. We can't alter the message. It would be disastrous. In fact, can I tell you that because they've been altered in many other pulpits, the disaster is already here. And it's flushing out over Adventism. My friends, now is not the time to mince words. Number two, now is not the time to cower in the corner. Please take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament. Luke 3. Luke 3. We'll start at verse 3. We're going to read about a fearless man who stood before all the leaders and spoke plainly also to them. Why? because then it was not the time to cower in the corner, as it isn't now. Children, come on, go to Luke, the 3rd chapter. Here's a role model for all of us. And while you're turning, let me give you the definition of the word cower. Cower means to crouch down or cringe in fear. To like go in the corner and hide your head and cringe for what is happening around. Let's see what John the Baptist did. Verse 3. Get the setting. And he went into all the regions around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now jump down to 7, verse 7. This is incredible. Then he said to the multitude that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now let's stop and look at the setting here. For if you would read the same passage of Scripture over in Matthew, you will discover that he was particularly talking to the religious leaders who came out there to find out who he was and why he was doing what he was. Now, folks, John the Baptist was 30 years old. John the Baptist had no support. He did not go to the schools. He did not have friends in the rabbis. They were not his teacher. And here's this young upstart man out in the wilderness preaching a different kind of sermon to the people, and the religious leaders came to check him out. Here was John's chance to give in to cultural pressures and conform his message so that perhaps they would give him more credibility and maybe he could reach more. And what did John call them? "You brood of vipers. Who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you to therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance?" Folks, it's the sincerity of the heart. They were out there to get points so the people would be impressed. But they didn't care one iota for his sermons and his message. But he spoke plain and clear to them, because then wasn't the time to cower in the corner. Now, then was not the time to give in to cultural pressures. And John the Baptist spoke plainly to those people. And if you don't mind, he even, so to speak, insulted them. Well, you notice, or you won't notice this, but there's one more little incident that took place. And that is when we get down to verse number 20 of the same chapter. Let me add to this. In fact, I'm going to read 18 and 19 and 20. Here we go. "And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison." Okay, let's have a Peter Neary interpretation. John walked up to King Herod and said, "King, you got to knock off your behavior. You've done wrong, and the current wife you're with, you have no business being with her, and you need to make things right. It is no time to cower in the corner. Notice what it says here in the Desire of Ages, page 104. God does not send messengers to flatter the sinners. He delivers no message of peace to lull the unsanctified into fatal security. He lays heavy burdens upon the conscience of wrongdoers and pierces the soul with arrows of conviction. Amid discord and strife, a voice was heard from the wilderness, a voice startling and stern, yet what? Full of hope. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. With the spirit and the power of Elijah, he denounced the national corruption and rebuked the prevailing sin. Therefore, this is not the time to cower in the corner. This is not the time to deny our heritage. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Revelation, the 14th chapter. As we look at part 3, now is not the time to deny our heritage. Revelation 14. 6 through 12. Now folks, I want you to sit back and relax. I want you to enjoy this as I read it. See, I know you, most of you in here have this memorized, okay? But just listen as I read it. Because we have an incredible heritage. And now is not the time to deny it, and I'll explain that more fully. So let me read it for you and follow along if you will. And remember the particular parts here. 1, 2, 3. Then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, and to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another angel follows, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Yes, now is not the time to deny our heritage. And by the way, heritage is defined as property that is or may be inherited. Actually, it is inherited. We have received this gift from our pioneers through the Bible. And we discovered that we have prophetic roots. We are prophesied as coming to existence in the books of Daniel and Revelation, specifically Revelation 12:17. We have a prophetic message, the three angels' message, that must be preached because I just read to you it's the everlasting gospel. Now, I want to stop for a second to let you know the word gospel is throughout the New Testament. And sometimes it's God's gospel, Jesus' gospel, the gospel, a gospel. But only in Revelation is it called the everlasting gospel. Because it's all inclusive of the whole ball of wax. It is now time to fear God and give Him glory instead of ourselves. Because the hour of His judgment already started. And we are to worship the Creator God, which is a reminder of the seventh-day Sabbath. Shame on us Seventh-day Adventists for not having a higher standard than we do. Shame on Christianity for missing the deeper meanings of the prophecies found in the book of Revelation. While, by the way, they're told that this is for the Jews after the rapture take place, which is found nowhere in Scripture. And then it's because Babylon is fallen, and made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In fact, it will progress to the point, well, there will be a mark, that if you do not get that mark, you're going to be killed. And those, we're told in the third angel who received the mark, are going to drink of the wine of wrath of God. This is no time to deny our heritage, because we have got to preach this message to a dying planet that has no clue. Oh, if I had one sermon to preach. By the way, you can understand how impossible this would be to preach all of this in one sermon. But I want the people to know that God is trying to shake us up. So we wake up and see our need of Jesus to come closer in our Bible, not to just listen what the preacher says and go, good, okay, I like that, I'm going home to watch the ball game. But instead go home and read it and see if that's what it really says. Now is not the time to deny our heritage. I love this. Listen to this quote, The Great Controversy, my book. Thus the message of the third angels, what does it say? Come on. Will be proclaimed. That means somebody's going to do it. Who here wants to be one of those somebodies? I do. I want to preach this message in love and mercy, but it's got to be preached. And here we're told this message of the third angel will be proclaimed. As the time comes for it to be given with greater power, the Lord will work through what? Humble instruments. Check this out. Comma. Leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to His service. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of His Spirit than by the training of literary institutions. Men, and I believe women of faith and prayer, will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God has given them, and the sins of Babylon will be open. The fearful results of enforcing the observance of the church, enforce the observances of the church by civil authority, number one. Number two, the inroads of spiritualism. Number three, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power. All will be unmasked. Now check this out. I love it. Here we go. By these solemn warnings, the people will be what? Look at that. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. They will be stirred. That means they're waiting to be stirred. Where are we? Now is the time. thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard the words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is a church fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven, which includes the Ten Commandments of God written with His own finger. My friends who are here, my brothers and sisters listening everywhere, now is not the time to deny our cultural heritage. So now is not the time, one, to mince words, two, to cower in the corner, and three, deny our heritage. In closing, I want to show you a picture of a book. How many of you are familiar with Clifford Goldstein's book, The Day of the Dragon? Okay. It's still on eBay and Amazon, as well as the ABC. Back in 1993, this book came out, and he took current events and showed how things were moving exactly in the direction of the great controversy, and how we were closer than you think. And I was so impressed with the book that I taught it for prayer meeting at the church I was at that time. And I will never forget, one day I was doing a work bee at the church school connected to our church. And a man came up to me who happened to be the head elder of a church nearby. And he said to me, "I hear you're studying that book by Clifford Goldstein, Day of the Dragon." And I lit up and I thought, "Oh, he's interested. That's good. Maybe he'll come to our prayer meeting." I said, "Yes, we are." And he said, "I don't like that book." And I went, "You don't like that book?" "No," he said. "It offends my brothers and sisters of the other churches." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No. And I don't want to offend my brothers and sisters in the other churches." And all of a sudden I thought, "I got him. I'm going to nail this guy." And I said, "Oh, then that means you don't give out the great controversy, do you? You knowing that I think that's the greatest book except for Desire of Ages. Right?" He looked at me and said, "I certainly don't." I thought, wait a minute. A Seventh-day Adventist elder of a local church who is cowering in the corner, mincing words and denying our heritage? 1993? And don't you think for a second that we've cleaned up the act. I believe it's even worse now than then. This is serious stuff, folks. And we've got to understand that now is not the time, ... You fill in the blanks. We've got a work to do. And we've got to be about that work. Because there are forces, especially outside, but unfortunately also inside, that are being used by Satan to mute the beautiful, everlasting gospel that has to be preached so that Jesus can finalize the whole gamut and come back to get His sincere people. Brothers and sisters, if I had one sermon to preach, this would be it. And I want you to know that now is not the time. Father, I want to thank You for the challenge of the hour. And now help us rise to it. First, don't let anyone here be discouraged. What is so incredible about You is You're a forgiving God. That even if we have been complacent, even if we have been asleep, even if we've been lustful, even if we've been angry, even if we're guilty of the very text that we've been reading today, if we say to You, we're sorry, You forgive us. But now, Lord, empower us with the Holy Spirit to not only go back to the old ways, but to start to find out how to present this tough message in a loving way, but to present it so people's hearts can be stirred. Thousands and thousands will be stirred. Lord, do this for us. And may this sermon enact a revival and reformation wherever it's listened to. And may that revival and reformation bring honor and glory to your name. So, Lord, don't let us leave here without making a decision for you. And thank you, you never fail nor forsake, because we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.